Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I'm Taylor McKinnon, your guide. Today, we are diving deep, really deep, into something critical for the U.S. federal government. We're talking technology, security, and mission. We're going to cut through the noise, the acronyms, all that bureaucracy to focus on one thing that's become absolutely non-negotiable, and that's securing the nation's identity infrastructure.
And I'm Alex Kurest. Great to be here. I'm ready to unpack what's really a seismic shift happening right now. We'll get into the federal policies driving this, which agencies are feeling the heat the most, and the specific tech that can actually speed things up. Speed to mission, as they say.
Exactly. And our deep dive today, the title, really says it all. Why U.S. federal agencies should adopt Okta to meet initiatives, mandates, and mission requirements to secure and accelerate speed to mission. So, Alex, let's start right there. We need to frame this. Federal cybersecurity, it used to be about building walls, right? A digital castle and moat. Defend the network perimeter. But that thinking, it's not just old news, it's actually dangerous now, isn't it?
Oh, completely. It's fundamentally insufficient. We've moved into what I call the identity imperative era. The whole game has changed. The battlefield isn't the network edge anymore. It's the individual user's identity, their credential. Think about it. When the bad actors, whether they're foreign states or, you know, sophisticated criminal gangs, when they attack, what are they going after?
Credentials, right. Phishing, weak MFA.
Overwhelmingly, yes. They target identities. They fish for credentials. They find ways around basic multi-factor authentication, maybe steal session tokens. So if you're a CISO or a CIO at a big federal agency, say the Department of Justice with its 160,000 people, or HHS managing millions of citizen identities, your number one worry has to be securing those identities. Modernizing security isn't just a nice-to-have project anymore. It's driven by policy, it's mandated, because frankly, the alternative is, well, systemic failure.
Okay, so our mission here, for you listening, is pretty comprehensive. First, we need to break down these federal mandates, the executive orders, the NIST standards, all the rules forcing this massive shift to identity-first security right now. And second, this is crucial, we need to get really tactical, an actionable go-to-market strategy. Which agencies, which specific people within those agencies, and which Okta products should be the absolute top priorities to, well, accelerate this whole transition. We're connecting the dots from policy straight to the tech implementation.
Exactly. We need to go beyond just talking strategy. We need the specifics. Like, why is the Department of Justice, the DOJ, priority number one? How does something called FedRAMP control inheritance actually slash the time it takes to get systems online? And, you know, how does the Okta platform specifically address those immediate binding requirements coming down from the OMB?
All right, let's dig in. Let's start with the pressure source. The policy itself, you said this isn't gradual evolution, it's a policy-driven revolution, really. And the big one, the order that kicked so much of this into high gear, has to be Executive Order 14028.
Right, that's the one. EO 14028, Improving the Nation's Cybersecurity, signed May 12, 2021. And it wasn't signed in a vacuum. It was a direct response, a really critical one to those huge cyber incidents we all remember. You know, SolarWinds, the Colonial Pipeline hack. Those incidents just laid bare how vulnerable we were. Vulnerabilities in the supply chain, totally inadequate identity security, things that could cripple the country. Honestly, it's probably the single biggest shakeup of federal cyber policy in, well, decades.
So looking inside that order, what are the, say, three core directives that make a modern identity provider like Okta absolutely essential, not just helpful, but essential?
Right. The directives are all aimed at tearing down that old perimeter model. First, it mandates a huge government-wide shift toward zero trust architecture, ZTA. And ZTA absolutely requires dynamic, identity-centric access control. It's built on identity. Second, it pushes agencies to adopt secure cloud services much faster and mandates encryption everywhere, data moving, data stored. You just can't do cloud securely without a cloud-native identity solution. It doesn't work. And third, super critical, it mandates the deployment of multi-factor authentication, MFA. And not just any MFA, we'll get into that. Plus, specific security improvements for the whole software supply chain.
Okay, mandates are one thing, but enforcement. Hmm. That's where policies sometimes, you know, lose their teeth. What makes the enforcement mechanism in EO 12020 so different? Why is it such a game changer for the federal market?
This is the kicker. This is the real market driver. The EO tells the Federal Acquisition Regulation Council, the FR Council, to actually change the language in government contracts. What does that mean? It means if you're a contractor, a tech vendor, even one of those giant system integrators, an SI, if you want to sell to the federal government, you have to meet these new cybersecurity standards, especially the ones around identity and supply chain security. If you can't, you literally won't be eligible to get those contracts.
Wow. So it's not a suggestion. It's comply or you can't sell.
Exactly. It turns compliance into a mandatory requirement for everyone in the federal ecosystem who wants to do business with the government. It's about revenue.
That is a serious hammer. It forces compliance not just inside the agencies, but through their entire network of partners and suppliers. Okay, let's drill down on the most immediate, the most actionable mandate you mentioned, phishing-resistant MFA. Why the urgency there?
Yeah, this is probably the lowest hanging fruit, but also the highest priority entry point for a lot of agencies right now. Mm-hmm. The Office of Management and Budget, OMB, put out Memorandum M22-9 in January 2022. It builds right on top of the EO. And it doesn't just say use MFA, it sets a very clear, very specific deadline for implementing phishing-resistant MFA. And that distinction, it changes everything.
Okay, phishing-resistant MFA. We're talking about moving up the ladder in terms of security assurance from what NIST calls Authenticator Assurance Level 2, AAL2, up to AAL3. Can you break that down? What's the real difference between AAL2 and AAL3 for someone listening? And why does M2209 insist on AAL3?
Great question. So AAL2, that covers a lot of the common MFA methods people use today. Things like push notifications on your phone, those one-time codes you get via SMS, maybe a basic authenticator app that generates codes. And look, AAL2 is definitely better than just a password.
Yeah.
But it's highly vulnerable. Really sophisticated phishing attacks, man-in-the-middle attacks where someone intercepts the communications, session hijacking. AAL2 can be beaten. Think about it, an attacker can just spam you with push notifications until you accidentally approve one, right? Or trick you into typing your one-time code into a fake website.
So the security pros know AAL2 just doesn't cut it against serious attackers.
Exactly. AAL3, though, is different. It demands phishing resistance. It requires cryptographic proof that the user actually possesses the authenticator and that they're interacting with the real service, not some fake site. The credential itself can't be intercepted and used again by the attacker. That's the key. We're talking about things like physical security keys, you know, FIDO keys, or the government's smart cards, PIV and CAC cards, or, and this is key for modernization, advanced passwordless tech that uses cryptography, like Okta FastPass.
And M2209 says AAL3 is now mandatory for what exactly?
For securing high-value assets, sensitive federal systems, critical infrastructure access. This creates an immediate, really pressing need for solutions that can deliver AAL3 compliance quickly and, importantly, at scale across the whole workforce. Oh. And honestly, this is where something like Okta FastPass becomes, well, sort of a silver bullet. It gives you that strong cryptographic phishing-resistant security, but it's also user-friendly, which, let's be honest, traditional hardware keys can struggle with, especially for people working remotely or on mobile devices.
Okay, so we've got the push to cloud, the urgent need for AAL3 MFA, and this overarching mandate for zero trust architecture. Let's spend some real time on ZTA, because Okta often describes itself as the central nervous system of zero trust. That's a bold claim. How do you back that up?
It is a bold claim, but it's grounded in the official framework. That's NIST Special Publication 800-207. It's basically the ZTA Bible for the federal government. ZTA, at its core, is built on that mantra, never trust, always verify. Simple phrase, but profound implications. Verification isn't just checking a username and password once at the door. It's about continuous contextual evaluation of risk for every single access attempt.
So if we look at the core principles, the tenets of ZTA that NIST lays out, yeah. I think there are seven, where does identity really form the foundation?
Identity is woven throughout, but let's focus on three key tenets, 3, 4, and 6. Tenet 3 says access is granted per session. It's not permanent. It's temporary, revocable. Tenet 4 says access decisions are based on dynamic policy. That policy has to consider the real-time state of the user's identity, their device, location, maybe other factors. It's not static. And Tenet 6 is probably the most crucial. All authentication and authorization are dynamic and strictly enforced before any access happens.
Okay, so let me see if I follow. If the system doesn't know who the user is, what device they're on, if that device is secure and compliant, then the whole idea of a dynamic policy just falls apart, right? Right. The policy engine can't make intelligent decisions.
Precisely. You nailed it. To make those dynamic, risk-based decisions, the system needs data, lots of it, in real time. What's the user's role? What are their permissions? Is the device healthy? Is the location typical? Time of day? How sensitive is the application they're trying to reach? Maybe even behavioral signals. This is modern identity and access management, IAM. Now, if your identity provider, your IDP, is fragmented across different systems, or if it's some old legacy directory, That policy engine, the brain of ZTA, it's starved. It doesn't get the rich real-time context it needs, and your ZTA implementation, it just becomes a set of static rules. Pretty ineffective, really.
Let's clarify the roles here architecturally. You've got the policy engine making the decision, the policy enforcement point actually blocking or allowing access. Where does the IDP, like ARCDA, fit in that picture?
Great clarification. Think of the policy engine as the brain. The IDP is the central nervous system feeding it sensory information. NIST 800-207 explicitly calls out the identity provider as the authoritative source for user identity, their attributes, the context around their access attempt. The policy engine is constantly asking the IDP, who is this user? What groups are they in? What device are they using? Is anything unusual?
Yeah.
If that IDP is modern, cloud-native, integrated like OPTA, it provides this rich, standardized, contextual data stream that lets the brain, the policy engine, make those smart, fast, risk-based decisions. That is ZTA in action. If you're stuck with an old on-prem directory system, you simply cannot gather or deliver that kind of real-time data effectively across today's hybrid, multi-cloud federal environments.
That really highlights why moving to a cloud-native identity strategy isn't just a preference for ZTA, it's almost an implicit requirement. But okay, beyond the broad ZTA framework from NIST, the government also has its own more specific identity blueprint, right? FICAM.
Yes, FICAM, Federal Identity, Credential, and Access Management, managed by the GSA, the General Services Administration. Think of ZTA as the overarching security architecture. While FICAM provides the government-specific policy and operational structure for how identity programs should actually be built and run.
So how does a platform like Okta line up with the core functions, the use cases that FICAM defines?
The alignment is actually really strong. FICAM breaks down the whole identity lifecycle into key use cases, and these map almost directly onto Okta's core capabilities. For example, FICAM talks about create and maintain identity and manage the entitlements lifecycle. What does that mean? Well, create, maintain identity maps straight to Okta's universal directory. That's the capability for consolidating identity data, making sure it's accurate, synchronizing it across different systems, the single source of truth we talked about, and manage entitlements lifecycle. That's Okta Identity Governance, or OIG. It's all about managing who gets access to what, making sure that access is reviewed regularly and, importantly, revoked when it's no longer needed. Least privilege in action.
And FICAM also pushes for interoperability, right? Mm. Agencies being able to trust each other's identity information.
Absolutely. Federation is huge in FICAM. How does one agency securely trust that a user logging in from another agency is who they say they are? Think about sharing sensitive intelligence data between, say, the FBI and DHS. Okta's core federation capabilities, using standard protocols like SAMLO and OFAF 2.0, are exactly what enables that kind of secure interagency trust that FICAM mandates.
Okay, speaking of federal identity,
yeah,
we have to talk about the elephant in the room. PIV and CAC cards, those smart cards. For literally decades, that was federal identity for many. Agencies have invested billions in the readers, the cards, the whole infrastructure. How does a cloud-native platform like Okta bridge that gap, connect that legacy hardware world with the need for modern mobile cloud-first access? This feels like a major sticking point.
It is. You're right. It's often the first point of friction raised. But Okta is designed to be that bridge, that unified identity control plane.
Mm.
Look, PIVSec integration is non-negotiable for many agencies, especially DoD and parts of the IC. Okta doesn't go in saying, rip all that out. That's not realistic or necessary. Instead, Okta integrates with the existing PIVCAC infrastructure, uses standard protocols, PKI, middleware. This lets agencies keep using those smart cards for logging into the specific high-impact systems where PIVCAC is absolutely mandated by policy. It satisfies those existing requirements.
But the key is extending security beyond just the workstations with card readers, right?
Yeah.
Especially with everyone working remotely or in the field now.
Exactly. That's the crucial part. A PIV or CAC card is physically tied to a computer or a reader. But the federal workforce today, they're accessing cloud apps, SaaS tools, internal systems from government laptops anywhere, from mobile devices in the field. Okta extends modern phishing-resistant authenticators like FastPass to that entire workforce across all those applications, regardless of where they are or what device they're using. So the platform acts as the bridge. It authenticates the user. Maybe they proved their identity with their PIV card at their desk. That's legacy AAL3. Or maybe they use Okta FastPass on their phone. That's modern AL3. Okta verifies that identity, then applies the same consistent ZTA access policies across all applications. Whether it's a legacy system or a brand new cloud app, it respects the past investments while enabling the future of secure, mobile, perimeterless work.
And that brings us back to those authenticator assurance levels, AALs. That's defined in NIST SP 800-633, right? Identity assurance, authenticator assurance, federation assurance.
Yes, and that's where the compliance piece gets really concrete for agencies. Okta's solutions, when configured correctly with phishing-resistant methods like FastPass or integrated PII VCAC, are specifically engineered, tested, and audited to meet the stringent requirements for AALL3. For an agency, CISO or compliance officer, having that audited certified compliance built on top of the already rigorous security controls demanded by FedRAMP provides the necessary trust. They know they can use it to secure their most sensitive systems. And a huge bonus, a lot of the compliance paperwork, the documentation burden that normally falls on the agency, they can largely leverage Okta's existing authorization package.
That's a perfect segue. We've laid out the why, the policy mandates driving this change. Now let's get into the what. The Okta platform itself. You position it not just as a collection of tools, but as this integrated FedRAMP authorized engine built for federal modernization.
Yeah, the integrated nature is really the core strategic advantage. Think about that problem the DOJ CIO mentioned publicly, identity fragmentation. Mm-hmm. Federal agencies suffer massively from this. They have dozens, sometimes hundreds, of separate places where user identities are stored, different directories, different systems. It's inefficient, it's costly, and it's a security nightmare.
So how does the universal directory component actually tackle that fragmentation, especially in a really complex place like the DOJ with all its different bureaus?
Right. UD, Universal Directory, acts as this abstraction layer, a central control plane for identity. Imagine the FBI has its active directory, the DEA has theirs, maybe ATF uses something else, some systems use LDFP. It's a mess. UD connects to all these different sources. But here's the key. It performs schema mastering. It can take conflicting or incomplete identity data from, say, the FBI system and the DEA system for the same person, normalize it based on defined rules, and create a single consistent authoritative profile for that user. It consolidates all the user attributes, group memberships, everything into one view. And that is absolutely foundational for zero trust. Remember the policy engine. If it gets conflicting information about what a user is allowed to do from two different systems, it can't make a reliable decision. UD solves that source of truth problem.
Okay, and we know the most urgent driver right now is that M2209 deadline for phishing-resistant MFA.
Yeah.
So Adaptive MFA and Okta FastPass are really the immediate mandate solution.
Absolutely. Adaptive MFA is powerful on its own because it's risk-based. It's not just about asking for MFA every single time. It looks at the context. Is this a device we trust? Is the user logging in from a weird location? Is this login attempt happening at 3 a.m. when they usually work 9 to 5? It assesses the risk level and then applies the right policy. Maybe step up authentication. Maybe block access, maybe allow seamless entry if everything looks normal. Then FastPass layers on top that critical AAL3 security we talked about. It's passwordless, it's phishing resistant using cryptography, and crucially for user adoption, it aims to be seamless. For the federal employee, FastPass means potentially fewer passwords to type, no more digging out a hardware key for every single login. For the CISO, it means strong cryptographic protection against the most common and damaging types of attack.
And a core principle of zero trust is enforcing least privilege, making sure people only have the access they absolutely need to do their job. But as you said, in huge organizations, maintaining that is almost impossible manually. How does Okta Identity Governance, OIG, make least privilege actually manageable in a federal context?
OIG is the engine that takes that ideal of least privilege and makes it operational, makes it real. Federal agencies face intense scrutiny, especially from auditors and oversight bodies like the GAO, about privilege creep. That's when users accumulate more access rights than they need over time. It's a huge risk, especially with contractors or personnel moving between different roles, maybe handling sensitive data one month and not the next, the whole mover part of the joiner mover lever lifecycle. OIG automates this entire access lifecycle.
How so? What does it automate specifically?
Okay, two key areas. One, joiner lever automation. When someone joins, OIG automatically provisions the right initial access based on their role. More importantly, when someone leaves, an employee quits, a contractor's project ends, OIG automatically deprovisions their access across potentially dozens or hundreds of connected systems instantly. This closes a massive common security loophole. Two, access certification campaigns. Agencies are required to periodically review who has access to what. This used to be a nightmare of spreadsheets and emails. OIG automates it. It sends reports to managers showing who on their team has access to which applications and data. The manager has to review and either approve, recertify the access, or flag it for removal.
So it enforces accountability and provides an audit trail.
Exactly. It makes the review process manageable, audible, and ensures the agency can prove they are actively managing access risk and adhering to least privilege principles. That's huge for compliance and mitigating insider threats.
Now, federal IT teams, they're often stretched thin, dealing with old systems, not enough resources, manual processes, especially complex ones like provisioning users across multiple systems, are prone to errors and just burn people out. Is that where Okta Workflows fits in, that automation force multiplier idea?
Precisely. Workflows is designed to tackle those complex, time-consuming, error-prone manual processes that can take days or even weeks. It's a no-code or low-code orchestration engine. Think of it like building with digital Lego blocks. It lets federal IT teams, even those without deep coding expertise, automate intricate identity-related processes that span multiple systems. A perfect example in the federal space is integrating the identity lifecycle not just with IT apps, but also with things like ITSM systems.
ServiceNow is common in even physical security systems.
Can you give us a concrete, high-value example? How would a workflow actually help an agency? Okay, let's think ahead to the DOJ again, maybe the DEA, which we'll discuss more later. They have a system called CASEL for managing physical access, the badges that get people into buildings and secure areas. Now, when a DEA agent leaves the agency, their IT accounts might get shut off relatively quickly through OIG, but manually coordinating with the physical security team to deactivate their CASEL badge, that can lag, there's a delay, that creates a dangerous window where the former agent might still have physical access to facilities even though they no longer have a business need. Big risk. A high-value workflow fixes this. When the offboarding process starts in the HR system, that's the trigger, the workflow kicks off. It automatically suspends all the user's application access via OIG, maybe transfers their files, notifies their manager, and simultaneously it makes an API call directly to the CASEL system to immediately deactivate that physical badge.
Wow, so it synchronizes logical and physical access removal instantly.
Yeah, instantly, automatically. It closes that critical security gap, removes the potential for human error or delay, and provides an auditable record that both forms of access were revoked simultaneously. That's moving beyond just identity management into true security orchestration.
Okay, one more capability. As agencies modernize, they're building more APIs, right? To share data, connect systems, maybe the FBI sharing data with state police, for example. How does API access management secure those new connections? Because unsecured APIs are a huge potential vulnerability.
They're the backbone of modern government, but yeah, a poorly secured API is like leaving the back door wide open to your most valuable data. Okta's API access management uses industry standards, primarily OWLF 2.0, to secure these APIs. It provides centralized policy enforcement. So instead of every single team building a new application having to figure out how to secure their own APIs, which leads to inconsistency and likely errors, Okta handles it centrally. It ensures that only properly authenticated and specifically authorized users and applications can access sensitive API endpoints and the data behind them. This is absolutely essential for enabling that secure data sharing and interoperability between agencies and with external partners, which is a core goal of ZTA and many modernization efforts.
All right, we've covered the key capabilities: Universal Directory, Adaptive MFA with FastPass, OIG, Workflows, API Access Management, an integrated platform. But for federal agencies, especially those handling sensitive data, none of this matters without trust. In the cloud world, trust starts with FedRAMP authorization. Specifically for the highest level of assurance, FedRAMP High.
You got it. Achieving and maintaining FedRAMP is the absolute table stakes, the ultimate barrier to entry, and the foundation of trust in the federal cloud market. FedRAMP is that standardized security assessment framework for cloud services. It's all based on NIST SP853 security controls. And FedRAMP High, that's the top tier, the gold standard.
Why is getting FedRAMP High such a bigger deal, such a higher bar than, say, FedRAMP Moderate? What's the practical difference?
The difference is the sensitivity of the data the system is allowed to handle. FedRAMP High means the platform has been rigorously assessed and approved to handle sensitive, unclassified data where a breach would have a severe or catastrophic impact. Think law enforcement investigation data, emergency response communications, critical financial systems, PII, PHI, really sensitive stuff. Achieving High requires implementing and continuously monitoring hundreds of additional, more stringent security controls compared to Moderate. It demands exhaustive documentation, rigorous audits, and often requires building on dedicated, high-security infrastructure like AWS, GovCloud, and US. The sheer complexity, the cost, the ongoing effort involved, it means very few cloud service providers, especially in the identity space, have actually achieved FedRAMP High. So Okta having it, that's a massive competitive advantage. It's often a prerequisite just to even start talking to agencies like DOJ, DHS, parts of DOD.
And it's not like they get the authorization and they're done.
Right.
It's continuous.
Absolutely not. It requires continuous monitoring, annual assessments, proving ongoing compliance. And crucially, Okta has shown a commitment by continuously investing to bring more of its services into that FedRAMP High environment. Things like Okta Identity Governance, FastPass, they've gotten those authorized at the high level too. That signals to federal agencies that Okta is committed for the long haul and that they can use the latest, most advanced identity features without having to compromise on that high security boundary.
Okay, this next point you mentioned earlier, control inheritance.
Yeah.
You said it's often overlooked, but strategically massive, especially for the IT program managers actually trying to get projects done.
Yeah.
You called it the speed to mission accelerator. Break that down for us.
Yeah, this is, I think, one of the most powerful but maybe least understood benefits. Anyone who's worked on federal IT projects knows the pain of the authority to operate, the ATO process. It is notoriously slow, incredibly complex, bureaucratic, and expensive. It routinely delays the deployment of critical new systems needed for the mission by months, sometimes even years. It's a major source of frustration.
So walk us through the typical ATO process for a new application, say, without using control inheritance. What does the agency have to do?
Okay, imagine an agency is building a new secure portal for sharing intelligence briefs. Without control inheritance, the team building that portal has to individually document, implement, test, and then get audited on every single applicable security control from NIST SP853. Hundreds of controls. Specifically for the identity piece, they have to prove they've correctly implemented controls, like IA2. How do you uniquely identify and authenticate users? IA5. How do you manage authenticators like MFA, making sure they're secure? AC2. How do you manage user accounts, provisioning, deprovisioning, reviews? This involves writing hundreds, maybe thousands of pages of documentation, building test plans, undergoing rigorous testing by independent assessors. Just for the identity controls alone, it can easily take 6, 12, even 18 months just for that piece.
Okay, that sounds incredibly painful. So how does building on top of the Okta platform change that equation?
This is where control inheritance comes in. It's a game changer. Because Okta already holds that coveted FedRAMP High ATO for its platform, the agency building the new intelligence portal doesn't have to start from scratch for identity. They can simply reference Okta's existing approved FedRAMP authorization package in their own ATO documentation. They formally state that they are inheriting the relevant identity and access management controls, IA controls, AC controls, AU controls for auditing, etc., from Okta. The auditors, the authorizing officials, they generally accept this because they know Okta's platform is already compliant. It's already being continuously monitored under FedRAMP rules.
So what does that actually mean in terms of time saved for that program manager?
It means a massive reduction in the scope, time, and cost of their own ATO effort. Instead of spending, say, 12, 18 months just documenting and testing the identity controls, they might only need a fraction of that time, maybe 3-6 months, focused on ensuring the integration with Okta is correct and documenting how they use Okta's inherited controls. We're talking about potentially cutting the identity-related accreditation work and the associated costs by 50%, maybe even more in some cases. This is pure mission acceleration. It means getting that critical intelligence portal, or whatever the new capability is, into the hands of the users who need it months faster. And this is why the big system integrators, the SIs who build these systems for agencies, really value partners with strong FedRAMP packages. Using Okta allows the SI to deliver their solution faster, more predictably, and often more cost-effectively to the agency. It makes Okta a highly attractive strategic partner across that whole ecosystem. It turns a huge bureaucratic hurdle into an actual project accelerator.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. We've established the why the powerful mandates. We've established the what Okta's compliant, high-value platform and that key ATO acceleration benefit. Now let's get really tactical. Section 3. The strategic deep dive into the Department of Justice. The DOJ. You rank the DOJ as the number one highest priority target right now. Why them specifically?
Yeah, the DOJ hits this perfect storm, this convergence of factors that makes it the top priority. You've got critical national security and law enforcement missions. You've got the executive mandates like EO14028 hitting them hard. You've got dedicated funding being allocated specifically for this type of modernization. And maybe most importantly, you have clear public statements from their own leadership, specifically the CIO, identifying the exact problem that Okta is designed to solve. It's just a target-rich environment full of urgency and critically, resources.
And you mentioned that statement from the top, the one that should be, like, slide number one in any sales pitch to the DOJ.
Absolutely. It comes directly from the DOJ Chief Information Officer, Melinda Rogers. She's been quoted publicly talking about the challenge across the department's massive workforce, 160,000 people, employees, and contractors. She said, and this is almost verbatim, "We are heavily engaged in unifying our identity management platform. We sometimes end up with multiple different identities for one person." That quote is pure gold. It's the customer at the highest IT level explicitly stating their number one pain point: identity fragmentation.
The one DOJ challenge, as it's sometimes called. Why is that fragmentation maybe worse at DOJ than at some other, perhaps more centralized agencies?
It stems from the DOJ's fundamental structure. It's not one monolithic entity. It's a federation of very powerful, historically independent components. You've got the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, ATF, the U.S. Marshals Service, USMS, the Executive Office for U.S. Attorneys, EOUSA. The list goes on. Historically, each of these components built and managed its own IT infrastructure, including its own separate identity systems, directories, and access policies. But the mission often requires collaboration. An FBI agent needs access to DEA case files. A prosecutor in EOUSA needs data from the Marshals. Without a unified identity system, what happens? That FBI agent ends up with a separate account and password for the DEA system. They have multiple identities, multiple logins, inconsistent security policies. It's incredibly inefficient, a nightmare for users, and frankly, really dangerous from a security and compliance perspective, especially for intelligence sharing.
Right. And any solution that requires, say, telling the FBI they have to rip out their entire Active Directory and adopt whatever the DEA is using, that's just politically dead on arrival, isn't it?
Completely infeasible. It would never happen. That's where the organizational viability challenge comes in. And this is why Okta's approach, using the Universal Directory as that abstraction layer, is so appealing. It offers organizational flexibility. Okta doesn't demand that painful, politically charged rip and replace. Instead, UD integrates with the existing component directories. It sits on top. It can pull identity information from the FBI system, the DEA system, ATS system, normalize it, and present a single unified identity plane back to the DOJ CIO's office and the central security teams. This unified view allows them to apply consistent department-wide zero-trust access policies, manage governance centrally, without forcing the individual components to give up their operational autonomy over their core directory infrastructure immediately. It makes unification organizationally possible.
And you mentioned the funding piece. The strategy is there, but crucially, the money is being allocated too.
Yes, and that alignment is what makes DOJ such a high-quality, actionable target right now. First, their official IT strategic plan for 2022-2024 explicitly calls this out. Two key objectives jump out. Objective 2.2.1, unify identity and access management, and objective 2.2.2. Mitigate internal and external access threats. That's a direct reflection of Okta's core platform value proposition.
But the real proof is in the budget request, right? Show me the money.
Exactly. You look at the president's budget request for fiscal year 2025. It explicitly includes a request for an additional $87.5 million, specifically ticketed for enhancing cybersecurity at DOJ. And the justification language accompanying that request specifically calls out the need to implement EO-14828 and OMBM-2209, the very mandates requiring unified identity and phishing-resistant AAL3 MFA. So you have policy, stated strategic priority from the CIO, and dedicated funding all pointing in the same direction. This isn't just a future goal, it's a funded near-term project. That creates real urgency for the sales cycle.
Okay, so DOJ is the top target, but it's a huge place.
Yeah.
To be effective, the sales strategy needs to be more granular, right? Component-specific, based on things like mission criticality, size, maybe existing needs. You mentioned the FBI and DEA seem like the top priorities within DOJ.
That's right. Based on scoring criteria, looking at factors like size, mission impact, likely need for modernization, the FBI and the DEA, along with EOUSA, consistently rise to the top as the highest priority components to target first. Let's start with the FBI. What's the focus sales play for the Bureau?
Okay, the FBI. What's their core challenge we should focus on?
The overarching theme for the FBI play is secure the modern FBI enterprise. The Bureau is in the midst of massive modernization efforts, trying to upgrade systems, some of which, believe it or not, date back to the 1980s. Huge technical debt. A core pain point is securing their workforce, especially the thousands of special agents who are highly mobile. They need secure access to critical systems. Think about Sentinel, their main case management system from their government-issued laptops and mobile devices, often while working in the field, potentially anywhere in the world. The big threat there is sophisticated phishing or credential theft attempts targeting those agents, potentially by foreign intelligence services trying to access sensitive case data.
So the focus has to be on securing those field agents, making access both secure and fast.
Right.
They can't be slowed down by clunky security.
Absolutely. Operational tempo is key for them.
Yeah.
So we position phishing-resistant agent access using Okta FastPass as the primary solution. Why? Because FastPass delivers that mandatory AEL3 compliance needed to satisfy M2209, protecting against phishing. It does it in a way that aims to be passwordless and seamless for the agent, minimizing friction, better security, and potentially better user experience. Win-win. And looking forward, as the FBI invests heavily in new data analytics platforms, AI capabilities, we also position Okta API Access Management as essential for securing the data pipelines, the APIs that feed those systems, protect the data fabric itself, and ensure secure sharing only with vetted partners.
Okay, that makes sense for the FBI. Now, moving over to the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. Different mission profile, major logistics, complex global operations, collaboration is key, and maybe a unique physical security element.
Exactly. For the DEA, the play shifts slightly to converged access and secure collaboration. One of their key vulnerabilities, as we touched on earlier, is that potential gap, that silo, between their logical IT access and their physical security system specifically, the castle system that manages building access badges. That potential delay in revoking a physical badge when someone leaves creates a tangible insider threat risk, especially given the sensitive nature of DEA facilities and investigations.
And this is where that automated offboarding workflow comes in as the high-value intervention.
Precisely. We lead with a high-impact proof of concept centered on Okta workflows integrated with Castle. Demonstrate that trigger. HR system flags a termination. The workflow instantly revokes all the IT application access via lifecycle management and simultaneously makes that API call to Castle to deactivate the physical badge. You show them immediate demonstrable risk reduction by closing that critical logical physical security loophole. That's a message that resonates strongly with their security leadership. Beyond that, the DEA has a huge need for secure collaboration and data sharing with state and local law enforcement partners, international partners. So we also emphasize Okta's robust and secure federation capabilities to enable that critical mission partner access.
Right. And then quickly, the U.S. Marshals Service, USMS, and ATF. These seem like agencies operating right at the tactical edge, very field heavy.
That's right. Think deputy U.S. Marshals hunting fugitives, ATF agents investigating firearms trafficking, highly mobile personnel, often operating way outside traditional office networks. They need immediate, reliable, but still highly secure access to critical databases, fugitive tracking systems, firearms tracing databases, often from laptops in their cars, or mobile devices in unpredictable locations. So the play here is secure the tactical edge, and the technology focus shifts heavily towards adaptive MFA and device trust.
How does device trust specifically help mitigate risk in that kind of unpredictable tactical environment?
Device trust allows the agency to set and enforce really granular dynamic access policies based not just on the user, but on the health and posture of the device they're using. So for example, the policy might say, a deputy U.S. Marshal can access the highly sensitive National Crime Information Center, NCIC fugitive database, only if they're connecting from their government-issued managed laptop AND. That laptop has passed a recent security check disk, encryption is on, anti-malware is up to date, hasn't been jailbroken, etc. If that same deputy tries to access that same sensitive database from, say, their personal phone or an unmanaged device, the adaptive MFA policy, informed by device trust, might block access entirely or maybe only allow access to less sensitive information. It ensures the agents can still get the data they need to do their jobs in the field, but enforces strict security controls based on the risk profile of the device itself, protecting the most critical data.
Okay, so it's clear that when talking to the DOJ overall, the business case needs to hit those executive-level concerns.
Absolutely. The messaging has to be framed around those big pillars. Mission enablement. How does unified identity lead to faster, more seamless, more secure intelligence sharing between components like the FBI and DEA? How does it help agents in the field? Solving the CIO's #1 problem, directly addressing CIO Rogers' stated challenge of identity fragmentation, and demonstrating how Okta provides that unified plane without forcing impossible organizational changes. Future-proofing, positioning this modernized identity infrastructure not just as solving today's problems, but as building the essential, secure foundation that DOJ needs to adopt next-generation technologies like artificial intelligence and advanced data analytics securely and effectively. You're not just selling a product, you're selling the solution to their core mission challenges and their CIO's top priority.
Great breakdown of the DOJ strategy. Let's widen the lens now. While DOJ is clearly tier one, You mentioned Tier 2 strategic priority agencies. These might not have the same immediate concentrated focus as DOJ, but they offer massive strategic influence or scale across the entire federal government. You categorize them as the kingmakers, the enablers, and the experienced leaders. Let's start with the kingmaker, DHS CSA.
Right, CISA's the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, part of DHS. CISA is hugely influential. They're effectively the standard setter, the guidance provider for cybersecurity across the entire federal civilian executive branch, FCEB. They are the kingmaker.
So what's the specific strategic opportunity with CISA? It's not about selling them thousands of licenses necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. The opportunity with CISA is about influence and standardization. CISA actively develops and promotes the Zero Trust Maturity Model. And critically, in their model, identity is pillar number one, the absolute foundation. SOSA's goal is to help all civilian agencies move up the maturity levels in each pillar, starting with identity. So if Okta can get endorsed by CISA, maybe featured in their official guidance documents, included in their reference architectures as a prime example of how to achieve optimal maturity in the identity pillar, that's an asymmetrical force multiplier. It essentially provides a stamp of approval that resonates across the entire federal civilian landscape. It tells other agencies this is a proven, recommended path forward for identity modernization.
Okay, so the sales play isn't transactional. It's about shaping the standards.
Precisely. The play is achieve optimal ZT maturity. The objective is deep partnership. Work with CISA's technical teams, demonstrate how the integrated Okta platform directly maps to and accelerates progress against their identity pillar maturity goals. Show them concrete examples of how Okta helps agencies implement things like strong AAL3 identity proofing, granular attribute-based access control, ABAC, continuous authorization, all key elements of their optimal state. The goal is to become part of their official story.
Makes sense. Next strategic enabler. The GSA, the General Services Administration, the government's landlord, but also its central procurement hub and shared services provider.
Yeah, GSA is critical for achieving scale and simplifying adoption across the government. They manage the major government-wide acquisition vehicles, the big contracts agencies use to buy IT. They also run key government-wide IT programs, including FedRAMP itself, and importantly, the FICAM program office that sets the government's specific ICAM policies we discussed earlier. If you want to make it easy for any federal agency to buy and deploy your solution, you need to work through GSA.
So how does the GSA strategy work? Two parts, procurement and policy.
Exactly. The overall play is government-wide adoption. First, procurement logistics. Ensure the Okta platform and its key components are readily available, easily discoverable, and properly priced on the major GSA schedules, like Schedule 70 for IT and other large government-wide acquisition contracts, GWACs, like Alliant. This streamlines the buying process for potentially thousands of federal IT program managers and contracting officers. Make it easy to buy. Second, policy influence, which is arguably more strategic long-term, build strong relationships and partnerships with the GSA's FICAM Program Management Office and also their IT Modernization Centers of Excellence, CCOE program. The goal here is to position Okta not just as a solution, but as a leading recommended reference implementation for modern cloud-native identity that directly supports evolving FICAM guidelines, especially around things like integrating PIVCAC with mobile access and enabling secure interagency federation, help shape the blueprint.
Okay, and the third tier two target, HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services.
Yeah.
The focus here shifts dramatically towards public-facing services and citizen experience, right?
Hugely. HHS is massive. It runs programs like Medicare and Medicaid through CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the FDA, CDC, NIH, impacting hundreds of millions of Americans. They're being pushed by two major forces. One is the same security mandates everyone faces, EO140-28, ZTA. But the other is the 21st Century Integrated Digital Experience Act, IDEA Act, which explicitly mandates that agencies improve the digital experience for citizens accessing government services online. Better customer experience, or CX. This creates an enormous need for robust, scalable, secure, but also user-friendly customer identity and access management, CIM, solutions.
And the scale here is just vast compared to employee identity, right?
Yeah, orders of magnitude larger. We're potentially talking about secure digital identities and portals for hundreds of millions of citizens, patients, healthcare providers. The good news is there's already a significant beachhead. CMS, within HHS, already uses Okta successfully to manage identity for its quality payment program, QPP API. That API handles a massive volume of Medicare claims data securely. That internal success story, at scale, provides powerful proof and leverage for expansion across HHS. The opportunity is to take Okta's CIM capabilities and apply them to other major citizen-facing portals and services throughout the huge HHS ecosystem.
So the sales play needs to balance that security requirement with the usability and speed demanded by the IDEA Act and CX goals.
Exactly. The play is Secure Citizen Portal. The messaging has to pivot strongly towards Okta's customer identity cloud capabilities. Things like easy self-service registration, maybe social login options where appropriate, adaptive authentication that minimizes friction for legitimate users, passwordless options, fine-grained consent management, all while ensuring a smooth, positive user experience. We emphasize how Okta helps HHS meet both its security mandates and its critical CX goals under the IDEA Act, providing secure, equitable, easy access to vital health information and benefits. Honestly, CIM for HHS represents arguably the largest single identity opportunity by user volume in the entire federal government.
That's a great overview of the strategic targets. Now, to actually make this complex multi-agency strategy work on the ground, the sales teams, the solutions architects, everyone involved needs to be speaking the exact right language to the specific people they're talking to. We need to tailor the message to the key decision-making personas within these agencies. You highlighted three critical ones.
Yeah, this is absolutely critical for ensuring the strategy actually lands effectively. You can have the best tech in the world, but if you're not speaking to the specific priorities and pain points of the person across the table, you won't get anywhere. The three key personas we need to nail the messaging for are the federal CIO, the federal CISO, and the federal IT program manager. They each have different perspectives, different pressures, and different budget controls.
Okay, let's start at the top. The federal CIO, Chief Information Officer. They're looking at the big picture, the overall IT strategy, the budget, the total cost of ownership, PCO.
Right. The CIO is wrestling with a couple of huge challenges. One is the crushing weight of legacy IT debt. Old systems that are expensive to maintain, hard to secure, and drain the operational budget. The other is the constant pressure to balance maintaining stability in those legacy systems, keeping the lights on, against the urgent need to innovate in high-priority areas, cloud adoption, data analytics, AI, improving citizen services. They're ultimately measured on mission outcomes, efficiency, and reducing that overall TCO.
So what's the core Okta message that connects with that TCO focus and the innovation mandate?
The messaging has to be strategic, focused on enablement and financial benefit. It sounds something like this. Look, Okta isn't just another security tool. We're your strategic partner in achieving mission-focused IT modernization. By consolidating identity onto our unified cloud-native platform, you can finally begin to safely sunset those costly, fragmented legacy identity systems. This will lead to a significant, demonstrable reduction in your total cost of ownership, TCO, for identity. And that TCO reduction, it directly liberates budget. Budget you can then redirect towards true innovation initiatives like securely adopting AI or building better digital services. We provide the resilient, compliant identity fabric mandated by EO 14028, which de-risks and accelerates your secure move to the cloud and frees up resources for the future.
Okay, clear focus on TCO reduction and enabling innovation. Now, the federal CISO, Chief Information Security Officer, their world is all about risk, threats, compliance.
The CISO lives and breathes risk management. They're dealing with increasingly sophisticated cyber threats, often from nation-state actors. They're grappling with the cybersecurity skills gap, and they are under intense regulatory pressure from EO 14028, OMB, M2209, FISMA, FedBramp. The list goes on. Their absolute top priority is demonstrable risk reduction and ensuring the agency can pass audits and maintain compliance.
So the messaging here has to zero in on Zero Trust AAL3 MFA and solving their most immediate compliance headaches.
Precisely. The message is direct and focuses on solving their biggest problems. We provide the integrated identity platform you need to implement a true zero trust architecture, moving beyond theory into practice, and demonstrably meet the core identity-related mandates of EO 14028 and M2209. Our FedRAMP High AAL3 compliant phishing-resistant MFA, delivered through options like FastPass, is the single most effective control you can implement today to eliminate the number one attack vector targeting your agency. Compromised credentials. Furthermore, our platform gives you the granular, risk-based, adaptive access policies and the comprehensive, centralized audit trails you need to effectively manage access risk across your entire complex hybrid environment, cloud, on-prem, mobile, and confidently satisfy auditors.
Okay, and the third key persona, the federal IT program manager. These are the folks on the ground responsible for actually delivering projects on time, on budget.
The program manager, PM, is all about execution. Their world is defined by project plans, milestones, budgets, and managing complexity. They need to avoid delays, navigate the often Byzantine federal procurement and security processes, and ensure that the technical solutions they choose actually integrate smoothly with their existing environment and deliver the promised value. Their biggest nightmare: a major project getting derailed, delayed, or even canceled because it fails to achieve its security accreditation, that dreaded authority to operate, the ATO.
So the messaging has to lead with speed, efficiency, and de-risking that ATO process we talked about earlier.
Absolutely. Lead with making their life easier and ensuring project success. We help you de-risk your critical IT modernization projects and deliver unprecedented acceleration to mission value. How? By leveraging the Okta platform, your project immediately gets to inherit dozens of validated identity-related security controls directly from our existing FedRAMP High 8.0 package. This dramatically cuts your 8.0 preparation time and costs, sometimes by months. Plus, Okta's extensive integration network with thousands of pre-built connectors to common federal applications and systems minimizes the need for risky, time-consuming, expensive custom development work. We help ensure your project integrates smoothly, meets its security requirements faster, and ultimately delivers its mission capabilities on schedule and, ideally, under budget.
That tailored messaging seems crucial. So bringing it all together, this complex strategy targeting specific agencies, specific personas, specific capabilities, it really boils down to a few high-impact, repeatable sales plays that capture the core value propositions for the federal market. Let's recap what you see as the top three.
Yeah, if we distill it down, three core plays emerge as the highest impact. Number one, the most urgent compliance-driven play, the EO14028 phishing-resistant MFA play. The compelling event here is that non-negotiable OMB M2209 deadline. The core pain is that most agencies' existing MFA, mostly AAL2, is vulnerable to phishing. The silver bullet solution is Okta FastPass, or PIV integration, delivering certified AAL3 compliance on a FedRAMP High platform. It directly addresses the most immediate mandated security gap.
Okay, number two leverages that specific DOJ pain point we dissected.
Right. Play number two is the DOJ identity unification play. The compelling event is the public mandate from their own CIO to solve identity fragmentation across that huge federated workforce. The silver bullet is Okta's universal directory combined with lifecycle management automation, specifically positioned to tackle that FBIE ESMS federation challenge without forcing rip and replace.
The core message: achieve one DOJ security and efficiency while respecting component autonomy.
And the third play, the one that speaks directly to the program managers and the system integrators, leveraging that unique FedRAMP benefit. That's the ATO accelerator play. The compelling event is any new federal application development project, whether it's at DOJ, HHS, DOD, anywhere, facing that long, painful security accreditation climb. The silver bullet is FedRAMP control inheritance. This play is laser-focused on operational efficiency, speed, and cost savings. The message to the agency PM and their SI partner is simple. Build on our platform, inherit our proven security controls, slash your ATO timeline and costs, and deliver critical mission capability months sooner.
That brings us full circle. It really feels like the entire federal security and IT strategy has fundamentally shifted, and it's now undeniably anchored in identity.
It truly is. Identity is the new perimeter. It's the control plane for zero trust. When you look at the Convergence Executive Order 1.08, the government-wide push for zero trust architecture, the specific urgent mandate for AAL3 phishing-resistant MFA, and the clearly articulated needs coming from priority agencies like the DOJ, it aligns perfectly with what a modern, integrated, flexible, and importantly, FedRAMP high-compliant identity platform like Okta delivers. This isn't just a technology trend. It's a moment where policy, security requirements, and platform capabilities have converged, driving real urgency and significant budgetary opportunity.
So for agencies adopting these modern identity solutions, it's really about much more than just checking a compliance box. And it sounds like it's truly foundational for enabling their missions.
Absolutely. Think about the impact. By unifying those fragmented, often insecure, legacy systems, by providing secure, phishing-resistant access for agents working in the field, by securing the APIs that allow agencies to share critical intelligence data safely, and by dramatically accelerating the time it takes to get new mission-critical applications approved and deployed through control inheritance. Okta isn't just a security layer, it's serving as an indispensable enabler. It's the security fabric that allows agencies to operate more efficiently, more securely, and more effectively. This really isn't just about selling software licenses, it's about providing the secure foundation needed to enhance national security, improve the delivery of citizen services, and ultimately build the trusted platform for the nation's future innovations, whether that's in AI, advanced data analytics, or whatever comes next.
That really puts the stakes and the opportunity into clear perspective. It's about securing the nation's future, fundamentally, one secure, reliable, verifiable identity at a time. Alex, this has been an incredibly detailed and insightful deep dive into the federal landscape. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's a complex environment for sure, but as we discussed, the path forward towards modernization driven by identity is becoming much clearer.
And to you, our listeners, thank you for diving deep with us again on The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.